Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you for tuning in. Welcome to TNT Tanya Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told on Marty Oakley's TS Radio. I'm your host, Tanya Hathaway. And as a reminder, we have moved our times from an hour later. So it's going to be 5 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Mountain, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern going forward. Tonight's show is 90 minutes as opposed to our usual 2 hours. So I also wanted to bring up that thank you to Stephen Burke. We're also being broadcast live and straight from Stuart, Oklahoma on 89.9 FM radio. So please be sure to tune in every Sunday if you can. And if you can't, this archive is available through Marty Oakley's ppjg.me site, where all of her shows show up and can be found as well. I'm sorry to say that my Injustice in Oklahoma exposed Facebook page has disappeared, whether it be being hacked or whether it be that Facebook just chose to take it down. I'm thinking that I would have gotten some kind of warning. I have never been in Facebook jail, but I've heard a lot of people have been in. I have been censored a bit lately when I've tried to boost a post to gain more attention to that, which means you could throw $5 at the post and reach like 1,000 more people or whatever it might be. As a result, I have named that. I have started instead of a page. It is a group, and it's called Journeys to Justice, and we are quickly building, but I want everybody that's listening here to be aware that we now have Journeys to Justice, which is formerly Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed. And the reason I picked Journeys to Justice is because when I first took my first trip down to Oklahoma to fight a battle that didn't belong there to begin with, I came out publicly a little bit, when I was fairly private in my life on Facebook page as far as any kind of drama stuff. It was more like a place where I posted stuff about our family and my kids and sports and stuff. But I came out with Journeying to Justice, a web page where I could get support from others and be empowered. Well, it was just a matter of a couple of months. I had a gag order on me, and I was told I had to take down that page. Well, screw them. I learned a couple years later that is not the way you do it. As far as I was concerned, fall in line, and they try to shut you up and, you know, pigeonhole you. So I am here under Journeys to Justice, where you can certainly join us and continue following us as we continue doing just what we do. All right. So you can also make comments on there more easily and actually post some other things that are of interest without it being just like a response to any of my posts. So again, thank you so much for showing up again. Really, really appreciate it. And as always, to our new and our faithful listeners, I'd just like to share my gratitude for you being here, because that means that not only are you tuned in, but as I said last week, you're really tuned in. And this matters to you, whether you're a victim, an advocate, an activist, whistleblower, you're just curious or interested party. This all matters, that we've got you here and we've got you here now, and that we'd like you to really share this information, because there's all kinds of different subjects of collusion, corruption, and injustices that are taking place in these podcasts. And they will be resonating with you as we continue along. So tonight we are part 4 of Exposing Injustices in Calvin, Oklahoma.
And there's quite a few people that are concerned about what's going on in Calvin, Oklahoma, but not only as we talk about Calvin, Oklahoma, but as a result of these podcasts going on, our fourth one about Calvin, Oklahoma directly, we are getting quite a bit of activity from other neighboring little towns, et al., which means and others, okay? And we know that this happens throughout our country, not just in Oklahoma, and certainly not just in Calvin, Oklahoma, but what we have found is that Oklahoma seems to be very, very septic in just about every agency, if not all, that I have come across regarding CPS, DHS, the courts, the governor's office, the attorney general's office, many district attorney's office, and far too many police officers. Not all are bad. This is what we're talking about here is what is bad, okay? So if any of this, all of it resonates with you, please remember to look up this year's annual Whistleblower Summit in Washington, D.C. is July 30th through August 1st. And to encourage newcomers and returners to this summit, it's about human civil rights, you guys, okay? Just so you know, it's free. It is free to get in. So I'm going to be there for my first time this year, and I doubt it will be my last time. So please Google the Whistleblowers Summit in Washington, D.C., 2018, and it'll be really easy for you to get more information. Quick disclosure, as always, neither the producer of the show, myself, 89.9 FM in Stuart, Oklahoma, or any other affiliates are responsible or liable for any content on this show. That said, due diligence and vetting has taken place. And I personally can say that I feel very comfortable with who we have on this show because I've seen things firsthand. Things have been provided to me. I am not an attorney, and I cannot and will not offer any legal advice. Oh, I'm getting this boring stuff over with, okay? But this show and my Facebook page, this is important for people to know, I do not support any one political affiliation. Corruption has no boundary lines. So on these pages of Journeys to Justice and on my and on my podcast or anything else that I do in the spirit of advocacy, whistleblowing, and activism, I will not talk about a certain political party. I will talk about the person, the entity, if that's the case that is being, okay? So we are not sponsored. Marty Oakley provides this show without any kind of sponsorship, and any of her hosts, there's no sponsorship whatsoever. And what that does is it prevents any content from being restrained to favor a particular situation. Okay, and when we're about halftime in, we will have there will be a few minutes where we'll once again share a heartwarming song, and Marty will provide a quick history of the songwriter and the musician. So it'll give us all a chance to take a little bit of a break from the in-depth conversation, but just listen to this music, take a quick bathroom break, or as Marty puts it, smoke them if you got them. I am opening up the show tonight to any callers from Oklahoma that want to call in. Marty will do the vetting from her end of it as far as who comes through. You've got to be sincere. You've got to have something to say that brings up some facts that you can substantiate or be genuine with your feelings, okay? So today is Sunday, July 15th, 2018. And I am very happy to introduce again and James Treat as our guest. And we're going to get caught up with what's been going on since the last time that James has been on, as well as discussing some recently unveiled old financial information. So with that being said, James, thanks for coming on again. And 98.8 89.9. I appreciate you broadcasting us again. James, how's it going?
Fine. How about you?
I'm good. I'm good. I've been following some things that are going on, and I'm in particularly very interested in a website called calvininfo.com, where there's a great deal of substantiating information that also is bringing up the transparency that the town of Calvin won't, that substantiates a lot of what you've shared here already.
Well, due to your Facebook site having its issues, I think it was decided that it would be best to get TNT out on a website and get the other information that was actually posted last week back out on a website. So there's a third party that's helping do that through calvininfo.com, and then your particular page will be back up with similar content. But that can't happen and won't happen with privately owned web pages where somebody else can't censor them and so on and so forth. So the information once posted will be there. The calvininfo.com page is probably less than 5% developed at this point. There is video, there is audio that is still being edited and clipped, as well as file conversions to different formats. There's some items out there right now on video that require Flash Player. There'll be some different conversions that will allow the videos to be played without Flash coming up. The audio files that you record with off of a mobile phone cannot be reproduced on a website. So those file conversions are having to take place. So, you know, just bear with us while we get that updated and caught up with some of the items of discussion, you know, back to a current timeline where they're both matching. But there are a few little tidbits out there that one might find interesting. Everything that's been said on this show is true and accurate and can be substantiated with documents, video, and or audio and video. And that is what we will go through and do and say. For example, there's one clip, just as a tidbit, out there on calvininfo.com where the council, and this is within the last 2 or 3 months, I will post the date on it, but it was just under quotes, but they vote to take the tower computer that belongs to the police department to quote-unquote the geek squad to get it hacked. First and foremost, what's the council doing with a police department asset? Secondly, why are they wanting to know and get into the information within the police department computer?
So the listeners understand, that's not even legal. They're actually saying, using the word on this clip, hacked. So you might think, well, so what? They need to open up this, this computer. They need to get information. Well, no, these people don't. The sheriff's department does.
Right, and that's what the listeners need to understand is when the police department was closed in 2016 in July or the 1st of August, the sheriff's department came in and inventoried the sheriff's department, the evidence locker, the documents, everything within the department, sealed it, and then locked it for a reason. See, for anyone to even have a key to get into the sheriff's department is not kosher, much less take items out of there without the sheriff having reopened it. So, again, that's just, one of the things that – one of many that will be put out there that cannot be denied. And if the audio didn't exist from having attended these meetings, it would be denied, and it would not have been able to be substantiated and or proven. And that's what's finally caught up with the town of Calvin, the good old boys club, special people, however you want to put it, in terms of what they do and how they do it. They can't just run rampant, do what they choose to do outside of the law. And yet that's how they've operated from past to present day, still doing it.
It's like a private citizen saying, well, I should be able to see what that computer says, and because the police officers, people who are police officers, are the ones that are privy to this information. Now, it is not saying that there are not, but that there aren't public files that can be made available from the police department, but there are certain that can, there's some that can, and there's some that can't, and it is not up to the council members or the town treasurer or the town clerk or the court clerk even to just go in and see what these are. So would it be to say that a concern would be if they are quote unquote willing to quote unquote hack the prior Calvin Police Department's computer, that they could alter information in there? Is that a fair concern based on your knowledge?
And or delete. But this falls under a general broad legal concept. This is a violation of the public trust encapsulated to these people on the, you know, as representatives, as representing the town, as elected. This is a violation of public trust.
Right.
Pure and simple.
Right. I agree. And it's illegal. Yeah. Not only is it an ethical violation, it's an illegal violation.
And, you know, the appropriate statutes will be put up with each one of these items that you can relate to. It just hasn't been, the format hasn't been there to go plug it in the slot yet. It's part of the development of the website, and these items will be substantiated with state statutes to document what we're saying.
Right. Well, it takes time to put something together correctly. And if you're going to, you know, cite things, then it has to be properly done, and it has to be verifiable. And that's kind of what it's all about. And obviously everything that you have shared and done to this point has been spot on accurate. And I think that's what's brought up so much of this upheaval, is that it's this in your face. No, it's not true. Let me just assassinate James Treat's character to try to take the attention away from the fact that the truth is being told and shown right here on the show through all your hard work.
Well, what we're going to talk about tonight is the financials. Town of Calvin, the last known, and let me reiterate that, last known set of financials. This would be the Town of Calvin's own numbers submitted to the state of Oklahoma. And through research, yeah, it was very readily known that the last time they filed these were 2011, or the last ones filed were 2011. The 2011 financials that we're speaking of were actually filed 4 years late in 2015. Okay. And repeating that, these financials that we're going to talk about, which are for the year of 2010 to 2011, were filed in 2015. And these numbers are put forward to the state kind of in the a parallel that you might align this with is one filling out their income taxes, hiring a CPA or someone to help them prepare their taxes and turn them in. Your CPA isn't necessarily going to challenge your numbers as to how many donations you gave and the number you're claiming for donations or, you know, the various items on an income tax return. They're just going to make sure it goes in the right slot. Okay. So this audit are these financials that this town is supposed to produce to the state each and every year. It's simply that. They have a CPA that basically takes what the town gives them, puts them in the right slot, does a little bit of verification as to accuracy when possible. These numbers are then submitted to the state of Oklahoma, state auditor and inspector's office. Like many state departments, this department doesn't have any enforcement abilities until the citizens of a community get together, file the petition like the town of Calvin did, to come in and do a forensic audit. Then they have the power of the state to come in, examine, and then based on what they find, refer those charges, if there's charges to be filed for impropriety, embezzlement, corruption, whatever various items that are being looked at, which in the town of Calvin's case, it's pretty much across the board. Then they do have the referral power then once they've got the numbers gathered, they've gone through the books, they've looked for deposit slips for cash, they've looked for receipts for cash expenditures, found them or didn't find them, traceable or non-traceable, then the town or the state auditor and inspector's office has the power and ability to refer criminal charges to the DA, to the attorney generals, and to the FBI for them to in turn turn around and give it to the Federal Justice Department. Now, working back to, pardon?
I'm looking right now at something about Oklahoma municipalities and their public trust. Okay, so why were municipal public trusts created in Oklahoma? First of all, you know, Article 10, Section 26 of the Oklahoma Constitution prohibits a municipality from incurring long-term debt under the debt it is unless the debt is authorized by a vote of the people, and limits that are long-term and limits the long-term debt. Okay, so then I'm looking at, you know, I'm going to post this within like a couple minutes when you're talking again, right on this Journeys to Justice page where this podcast was advertised. Okay, so what are municipalities' presumptions and conditions for the creation of a municipal public trust? Well, you know, exists for the public benefit.
Well, in Calvin's case, the public trust is actually the Water Works Authority.
Okay.
And in Calvin's case, it's not a matter of them having created long-term debt in the public trust, as it is they have borrowed funds from the public trust or the Water Authority to substantiate or to keep the town of Calvin afloat.
Okay.
In other words, borrowing from Peter to pay Paul.
Right.
The Water Trust Authority is the revenue center, basically, for the town of Calvin. The water sales to its residents.
Okay.
So the item that you're referring to there doesn't directly have an implication to the town of Calvin in that aspect.
Regarding the fiscal responsibilities.
Regarding long-term debt.
Okay.
I haven't had the chance to go through line item by line item of the financials themselves. I actually have someone in Dallas that's a CPA that's actually going to go through this line item for line item for me so that we can discuss it at length depending on what they find at a later date. They actually started and looked at it a tiny bit and kind of gasped and held their breath and said, this is going to take a little bit of time. So
you think?
Just the top line, though, just the top line of the financials. In 2010, a quick overview would suggest that the town had about $183,000, $184,000 in fund balances when it started out the year in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
They had a $107,000 negative change in fund balances in 1 year, which meant at the end of the year when they started with that 183 or thereabouts, they had a remaining balance and a fund balance of $76,000, almost $77,000. So they had a negative change of $107,000 in 1 year.
Where on earth did it go? Is there any, how are you supposed to know? Well,
again, we're going to have, this is part of a bigger picture, but their net income loss in 1 year, in 2010 to 2011, was almost $91,000. That means they overspent what they took in, $91,000.
That's just so crazy. And nobody knows where it really went.
A municipality is basically on a fixed budget. It really doesn't have a lot of opportunities to go out and create more money for itself.
Right.
And so it has to be managed from what we get is all we can spend. And my own personal experience in attending these town hall meetings for the last several years, and I say 5 or 6 years, several years, is I hear them cashing in $10,000 CDs because they're deficit spending from 1 month to the next. They're spending more than they take in. So I personally have witnessed them in council at least cash in three $10,000 CDs in the last couple of years. They're spending more than they take in. When we go to the last item that's actually posted on the website from 2011 to present, they had a leftover fund balance in 2011 of almost $77,000. It's gone because they had no money in February until they got a $29,000 surplus from county taxes. And when I say they had no money, they had a box full of bills. And the town treasurer came into the meeting and said, "You're going to have to tell me what to do, folks. There is no money, and I can't borrow any more from the water authority." And this is on audio. They squandered $77,000 across 2011 to present. Now, that's also on top of other monies they got outside of their normal revenue stream along the way, such as this exorbitant $29,000 that came out of the blue that they spent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in this same time frame that they're cashing in these CDs to keep going, they're giving themselves raises.
So they have no
instead
way
of
paying
instead of cutting back on salaries and cutting back on expenses, they're giving themselves raises.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That's unacceptable. Private business, private enterprise says when you don't have enough money to make your bills, you reduce cost, i.e. you fire people, i.e. you reduce salaries. They can reduce salaries up to 20% without any liabilities whatsoever. Now, if the person chooses to quit, they choose to quit. But they have that. They never once even talked about it.
Wouldn't that be a good thing in this case? If they choose to quit, they quit. They should be quitting.
One of the individuals that we're speaking about, the council a year and a half ago voted to make them fill out a weekly report of what they did. What they did day to day, week to week, so that they could report it in the town hall meeting. That individual, being the town supervisor, refused to do the report and still has not done the report, even though the council had a formal vote on it.
That's something else.
That's insubordination.
That's something else. And you know something? It's like, why on earth would anybody listening to this be lambasting you for bringing this out in the eye of the public. Too many people are either involved in this good old boys club, or too many people just have blind faith that the right thing is being done. And so it's important for people to know that don't already know the right thing is not being done. And these people have the rights to actually go walk themselves down to the clerk's office, to the treasurer's office, and ask for the financials. Let's see if they get any farther than what you have gotten, right?
Well, the major point to bring out here is the same town treasurer and the same town supervisor are still present that was present in 2011. This is mismanagement of assets, mismanagement of funds. Pure and simple. It's
and
either you don't know how, or you're willingly doing something that you shouldn't be doing.
Right.
It's one or the other.
Right. And remember, listeners, 2011 is that financial that had come out from the CPA where it is expressed that.
And all of this is posted out on calvininfo.com. And where you're going with this right now, Ralph Osborne was the CPA hired to issue the opinion of the town financials when this was submitted to the state, the same as your tax preparer, if you filed your income tax, would sign that return and you sign it and turn it in. In this case, Ralph Osborne was hired to have an opinion on the finances. In this case, the town's own CPA not only declined to issue an opinion. He stated that he would not, he added a disclaimer to the fact that he would not give an opinion on the town financials. His exact words, quote unquote, or one of his quotes out of the letter says, "The town failed to maintain adequate support documentation for expenditures claimed in the financial statements."
And from reading it, it really seems as though the CPA was as kind and non-confrontational as possible, but he would not have been transparent at all had he not made some of these statements, albeit he refused
opinion. He talked in circles throughout this document, and the person probably would not have picked it apart as to what he said and what he actually didn't say.
Right.
But the last paragraph saying it's only for informational purposes for the town of Calvin Council, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can go read it.
And you know what?
You can't take these financials to the bank because they're worthless. Because they're undocumented, they're unsupported.
Okay, exactly. And now the person who just supplied this document and wishes to remain anonymous because they don't want to be harassed or, you know, like you've been, James, okay? The person
out there at the state for anyone to go get.
Right, but not many people have actually go out and get it. Exactly, it's public,
right.
But... So what I just heard from this person who remains anonymous is, quote, "Sad truth is that anyone who would go down and ask for the financials with all this going on will risk facing those same problems as any of those that signed a petition are standing up. Sad spot to be in, such a small town, hence why I choose to remain anonymous," unquote. Did you guys understand that the gravity of this situation, listeners, that is going on there? And we also know that, we have a lot of listeners that are actually the ones that are responsible for doing this to the citizens of Oklahoma, so of Calvin, Oklahoma. So imagine that. that this person that you know, was able to, you know, provide a copy of this, like any citizen can go and get this, right, sits here and says, you know, that I'm remaining anonymous because,
yeah,
you know,
they're also saying I would not go to the town clerk and ask for this.
Right, right. If you go to the town clerk and you ask for this, that's it. You're ousted. Forget about it. If you think James is the only one who has tickets, guess what? You'll be having tickets too.
There's a bigger point here that needs to be made at this point too. The town of Calvin council members, or the people who think this is their town, that think they're running this town,
right?
There are more of these individuals out there, like the one you just spoke of, that wanted to remain anonymous, that are just dissatisfied, just as fed up, and are sick and tired of the way this town is being run and handled and represented. But they're like
right.
this person. They don't have the wherewithal to step forward, and there's nothing wrong. That's just their demand.
Right. That's not in judgment. Everybody's in different time, spaces, and places in their life.
Right.
You know,
and they're not wanting to be known public, but I assure you they're out there because I get information daily, just like you're
right.
getting information now daily.
Well, thanks to you.
From these
thanks
people.
To you. Yep.
But
yep.
going back to these financials, the CPA that was supposed to write an opinion on these and sign off on them says, unquote, support documentation is a material weakness. Internal controls are so deficient that the town of Calvin is unable to prepare or correct financial information. The CPA identified enough deficiencies to say that the accounting controls had material weaknesses. This is the same thing as John Doe on the street saying they ain't got no records. They do not have the information to support their spending. Where is the money going?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These financials are about as fictitious as the budget that they supposedly just got through creating, and they cannot have possibly created a budget that represents the financial condition of the town because they don't have the financial backbone numbers to create the budget from. When you create a budget, you go from the history of last year's expenditures, increase it by a certain percentage, but you go line item by line item by line item by line item. There's no way that these five people could have put together a budget that has any credibility whatsoever to justify the hiring of the person they just hired because they can't even pay their current bills, much less the known items. And there's about four or five major known items that I know are not going to be in that budget and should have been accrued for going forward, i.e., just
and
like
can you explain what that means?
There were legal circumstances stated in these financials that they had not made provisions for if they were to lose the lawsuit.
Right.
They
the
didn't, and on top of
them.
That, it wasn't even disclosed what the legal issues were.
Mm-hmm.
So these documents are so, so telling because nothing's changed.
Right.
This is the same
right.
modus of this is the same behavior.
And
I.e. witness spending the last CDs they had just to operate, just to pay their salaries so they could go another month. People of Calvin, citizens of Calvin. All this group of people is doing right now is riding out the wave till the state comes in. They're going to collect every penny. And I say these people, your town treasurer and your town supervisor, till they get kicked out. They're going to drain the funds as much as they can.
Let's name names.
Well, I mean, it's a well-known fact. Town treasurer is Linda Bennett, and the town supervisor is Robert Jones. That's a fact.
Right. Yep. Yep. That's just all right. Now, Robert Jones, Linda Bennett, I do invite you to call 917-388-4520 and press the number 1 if you would wish to come on and civilly address these issues that we're talking about right now. If you want to have a civil debate with James Treat and you can substantiate it, we'd be greatly appreciative of you doing that. What we're seeing, finding, hearing so far has been nothing, nothing, and nothing, despite the many requests, despite the invites. But if you want to say something to assure your, you know, the citizens of Oklahoma of your turning things around and what you are planning on doing to make these wrongs right, I would think now would be a time instead of jumping on a defense bandwagon, because, you know, you can't deny the facts. So what are you going to do to make this right? How important is it to you to keep these positions that you are in the trust of the town members, of the citizens of the town? Does it matter to you that much to keep your positions, or don't you think it might be time for you to step down and let somebody competent take over these positions and actually get Calvin, Oklahoma out of the woods? I doubt very much that James Treat is interested in or wanting to take over those positions, but I do know that he has offered year after year after year after year to help guide you, the paid government of the of Calvin, Oklahoma, to help you achieve your goals and the goals of the town. And that is really what your goals should be, is to achieve the goals of the town, to make it a solid, safe town to live in, to make it fiscally responsible, to be able to have an emergency fund should something happen, to take care of that doggone well such situation where you've got, you know, disgusting, gross water coming out of those spigots.
Well, if you go, you got to go to these financials, and you got to go, they are numbers, they're the condition of the town, they're the health of the town.
Yeah.
And it, I don't care what excuses you make, who you want to point a finger at, who you don't want to point a finger at, the finances of the town are the, by statute, the direct responsibility of the town treasurer.
So, Linda Bennett, that would be you. My dear
the
Linda Bennett, I have appealed to you.
Can stand up to the council. She is responsible. She is elected just like they are. But her name is on the dotted line. Not
as
Robert Jones. The
right.
Council's names are there if they go along with the program. The town treasurer, though, and the ultimate end result, is responsible for the financial condition of the town. Wherever, however you want to try to cloud the issue, throw mud on the wall, that's a fact. That's a simple fact by statute.
Mm-hmm.
The buck
so,
stops
Ms.
there.
Yeah, that's it, that is a tough position for any town treasurer. But Linda Bennett, I'm thinking that maybe you weren't quite aware of the responsibilities that you took on when you made an oath to the town of Calvin, Oklahoma. And now would be the time to accept the help and to either step down or work with somebody to own it rather than point fingers at other people that are actually pointing this out for the health and well-being of the town of Oklahoma.
Okay, here's some key words. Support, documentation.
Yeah.
Internal controls. Those are key words. Those are corporate lingo, but those are key words. Support documentation is a material weakness. Who's responsible for the support documentation? The gathering, collection, maintaining of the records? The town treasurer. internal controls are so deficient that the town of Calvin is unable to prepare correct financial information.
Now,
who creates the internal controls for the town? The town treasurer sets mm-hmm. the guidelines for the controls to be followed. No one mm-hmm. else. The buck mm-hmm. stops with the town treasurer. It's not just a title. It's a fiduciary responsibility. And key word there, fiduciary, to treat that money with more care than you would your own. But that's far, far, far away, far cry from the truth here.
Right. Right.
When the town treasurer went to the council in February and said, there's no money, you're going to have to tell me what to do. Oh, well, excuse me. It's the town board, it's the town council who should have went to the town treasurer and said, okay, what are we going to do? The town treasurer is supposed to have the answers. Now, that
here,
can be,
I've got a definition here of internal
back to the
control.
Council for suggestions.
Exactly. People don't need to just, you know, skirt around or dance around. This is about providing a solution to a problem. And internal controls, www.investopedia.com. What are internal controls? Internal controls are the mechanisms, rules, and procedures implemented by a company. Okay, in this case, it's obviously, the ordinances, to ensure the integrity of financial and accounting information, promote accountability, and prevent fraud. Besides complying with these laws and regulations and preventing employees from stealing assets or committing fraud, internal controls can help improve operational efficiency by improving the accuracy and timeliness of financial reporting. So the town treasurer is responsible for assuring the efficiency, the accuracy, of and the timeliness of financial reporting. Does that pretty much sum it up?
Right, but i.e. the financials not being filed with the state.
Right.
That is the town treasurer's responsibility.
Right, it's not happening. These people in these trusted elected positions.
I mean, these financials that were filed 4 years late are 4 years late. Now, what are the consequences of them not being filed and not being late? Well, again, each council member and the town treasurer are charged with a fiduciary responsibility. That means they are to look after every penny, every $500, every $1,000, every $10,000.
Correct.
When they don't do their job and file these financials to keep the town current, they forfeit taxes to the county. And it doesn't matter whether it's $1, $5, $50, or $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
They have been delinquent in their responsibilities if they're not filed and they forfeit one penny to the county. They should have been removed from office and from their council seat the moment that happened. Because it's a knowingly, willingly known action to not do it. Just like when they filed these financials in 2011, it just won't matter if we don't do next year's. Or, well, you didn't have the money, but we're not going to approach that problem right now. We're just going to keep on paying our salaries, and we'll do it next year. Next year passes. Oh, well, we got away with that. No one even asked us about them. So we're just not going to file them again and again and again.
Crazy.
It's insane.
Absolutely.
They get their paycheck every week or every month. But they put the stack of bills in a box over to the side and choose who they have to pay and who they don't pay. They don't mm-hmm. tell the public how much money they spent, how much they start with, and how much they end with in any given meeting.
That is absurd.
They don't want you to know.
It's just absolutely unheard of. They're supposed to be a treasurer's report, okay? You know, I've been secretary of boards before. You never, ever go through these meetings without having the treasurer's report. It's just part of what you do. It's just part of what you do. So right now I am posting the first page and this and the last couple of pages underneath this, the events and journeys to justice, so that anybody who's listening can actually see what the heck it is we're talking about here. And as well, now, is this up on your that site? I don't know if it's yours or not, but is this up on that site?
On CalvinInfo.com, anything that we've just talked about is on the website. The documents are there. They're highlighted, and they're denoted with the plain, simple language, and it points to the paragraph exactly, and you can read it on screen. Every page of, I think the financials were 29 pages. There's only been 3 pages gone through, which is the narrative portion of the CPA's letter. And it points to the paragraphs and the statements and what we've been talking about per line item. The other pertinent financials will be done the same way, going to the balances that were pointed out. But you can find the balances of deficit balances throughout the documents. It's not a lot of science to just going through and finding the numbers. The town financials are a little different than some. It was my understanding that they had to have a separate set of financials for the public trust and a separate set of financials for the town. These financials do not follow that structure, but seem to be okay with the CPA, and they have what you call, or what he's denoted as being, a blended set of financials. So they are not as straightforward as they should be. Again, not as straightforward and as transparent as they should be.
Right.
But you can find these numbers, and they are crystal clear in terms of fund balances starting and ending, and then where they are currently.
Okay. And so the meat of the introduction of the document and the
Where you would go on the web on the Calvin Info website, in the top left hand side, just to the left of the round circle globe or the round circle map, it'll say Calvin Financials. You can go click on Calvin Financials, and when you go there, you'll have an index of Calvin Financials 2010. It's going to be interesting to go back and see exactly what they are or if they're there. But 2012, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 are not there. There's a link that goes to the 29-page document that's 2011-filed. If you click on the file, it'll give you the 29 pages unedited. If you go down just right below that, there'll be 3 pages that you see, little pages. If you just go above the page and click on it, it will explode up and give you a full page view so you can read it. To make it go back down, just click on it and you can go to the next one.
Right.
And it'll have the notes. But the CPA town did not maintain adequate records.
Right.
And firsthand experience, and this was only 2 months ago, I asked Linda Bennett face-to-face to see a copy of any and all town vehicle mileage logs. I was told, point blank, there are none. I made the statement that was a statutory requirement. Linda Bennett replied to me, "That's your opinion." I turned and walked away.
Oh, an opinion versus a requirement. Does she not know the own ordinances that are supposed to be followed? Oh, my gosh. Any business, anybody knows that you're supposed to keep a mileage log. That's crazy.
Well,
what's
happening here, and it's not, I can say it all day long, they can't go back and doctor or clean up. They're just not there. What happens here is if they don't keep mileage logs and they go put gas in a vehicle, they're expensing that money out as a line item expense. Whereas it should be gone to a mileage log that separates out town business from personal. All personal miles to and from home, to and from the dog groomers, to and from wherever that's personal, should be income to the person driving the vehicle and state income tax and federal income tax paid on that compensation.
Right.
Personal mileage is not an expense item for the town. It's embezzlement.
My God. Okay, can you kind of go over that again just so that, because you hear the word embezzlement, and all of a sudden you like kind of like turn
well, by the purest form of definition, it is still taking something from the town for your personal benefit. If you use a town vehicle, and if you use 1 gallon of town gas to and from your home, because you're driving a vehicle that you're not supposed to be driving a vehicle to and from home anyway, and or you're driving a police vehicle that is an asset of the police department, that's a misallocation of town assets. But just strictly speaking about the gas, if there's not a mileage log to separate personal use from business use, and you're taking the vehicle to and from home for whatever reason, personal use has to be taken out and given to the individual on a 1099 as compensation.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And turned in on their individual taxes and income tax paid on that amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Right, you turn in your mileage, just like you said. You ask, is it being turned in?
But if you don't fill out a mileage log, that bill's got to be paid somewhere, and I'm sure it's being paid by the town. It's just an expense item on a line item. That's an incorrect journal entry, and that's not following any accounting guidelines.
Do you feel that as it has been entered, that it could actually be a benefit to the person receiving that reimbursement?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's not there's no reimbursement because they're never charged anything. It just goes to the town as a bill, and the town pays it. It's an invisible transaction.
Right.
And the town treasurer used a town vehicle for 2 or 3 years between 2014, 15, 16, until I brought this up in a council. And shortly thereafter, that vehicle wasn't used anymore personally or on an ongoing 24/7 basis, but the town supervisor continued his use.
So we're talking about potentially, there's personal vehicles.
All of that is wrong. That is what the Oklahoma State Auditor and Inspector's Office is going to pull out, and it's going to be in somebody's face.
Right.
It was not for town benefit.
Right.
It was town funds used for personal benefit.
Right. Does everybody understand? I was just saying to our listeners, does everybody understand that, especially if you are from Calvin, Oklahoma, or if you are from an area where you feel that this is actually happening in your own town or city where there is not the fiscal responsibilities, where they're not being met, where the runnings of the town is not for the benefit of the town, but more for the benefit of the employees that are awarding themselves these additional benefits under in disguise. So this, I would call that embezzlement. So the thing about what James Tree is doing right now is it is opening up the eyes of not only the townspeople of Calvin, Oklahoma, who seems to have let up just a little bit on James, but also it's opening up the eyes of some surrounding towns and other areas in Oklahoma. And I certainly can say that I hope other states that people are listening, because we know there is a broad viewership listening audience here, that, you know, if you have a question mark about it, you know, if you're wondering what's really, really going on here, why is our town struggling, or why is it that these people's lifestyles seem to be a little bit better than what you know that they are supposed to be making, you know, you have the right to go to your town, to your city, to request these financials. And just, you know, either you're going to find out that, you know, they're transparent, it's accurate, or they're not. So you pay taxes, people, okay? You're supposed to get benefits for what you're paying taxes for. You know, these are all ordinances and rules and guidelines that are put in place that's meant to be fair play, that's meant to be transparent, that is meant to be for the benefit of the townspeople, the city. And if they're not doing it right, if they're using their positions of power or their positions to be greedy and self-serving, we've got an issue here, you guys. That is exactly what is happening and has happened in Calvin, Oklahoma for many years. And now they're under the gun. And doggone it, we know they don't like it. But there has been civil plea to these people that are out there that are doing this to wake up, to come forward, to try to help solve the problem. James has offered his professional.
Well, this has been brought up in two or three different council members, council meetings, point specifically. This is not new news.
No.
It was just ignored like everything else. Just
of
like when you tell them their Open Meetings Act or their Open Meetings is invalidated, they just keep on going doing the same exact thing. But this point that we're on right now, it's not just Calvin. This is the state of Oklahoma. These things we're talking about are considered white-collar crimes. In Texas, white-collar crimes are prosecuted more persistently and more consistently, and they're taken seriously. You will not find, if you go through the court records of Oklahoma, a great number of, quote, white-collar crimes that are pushed to the limit. Now, that day will change. But if you go to Hartshorne, as an example, millions of dollars missing. People lost their jobs, lost their position, told to leave. But there's not been a single criminal prosecution yet.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of dollars missing. Now, one of these little towns is going to get made an example of.
Right.
The difference between Hartshorne and Calvin is, from what I've learned from there, there's not the letter of the law documents that can support a particular person doing a particular thing. In Calvin's case, there is. There are particular documents, there are particular dates, there are particular accounts that it can be proven that an individual knew and did it anyway.
Right.
Hartshorne right. wasn't handled. There are records of these things being brought up to the council. They just ignored them. You know what that falls under? Knowingly and willingly. Read through the Oklahoma State statutes how many times you're going to find knowingly and willingly.
Right. Right, which
the
means
Calvin situation is very different than Hartshorne. Pardon?
Right, which means when you know you are responsible for it, if you know something is going on, then there should be accountability, and if there isn't, you're responsible for those deficiencies. Correct?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Well, it makes people, once it's knowing and willing, then it makes accountability.
Oh, yeah.
In the
they've been told. Right. They've been exposed. They can no longer hide under the innocence of a child. Well, I just didn't know. They
right.
have been told. They just haven't believed it, and they didn't really care to believe it.
Right.
The mayor has been told multiple things. Just ignore it. I mean, out of all and you said you had been a member of a board and so on and so forth.
Right.
What's the first thing you do or should have done when you became a board member, whether it was for a profit or a nonprofit? You should have been exposed to, and you should have went and looked at the financials day one to see if you wanted to even be a part of it.
Absolutely.
I've watched them indoctrinate two or three different council members here, and not once did they ever share the financial condition in open meeting to that council member. Not once.
Right.
And not once did the council member ever ask to see. But we can take that a step further. Did the police chief even care that the town could or couldn't pay his salary? Because they don't have the money to.
Well, and that makes for an interesting point here also, James, is like, what is it that, so how does a treasurer become a treasurer in Calvin Oak? How does...
It's my understanding it's an elected position, just like... any other, public official.
Right.
Just like the board members, they have to be elected. The treasurer is elected. The mayor in this town is not elected. It's actually a consensus or a vote of the council members once they're elected to appoint a mayor.
Oh, my gosh. Now, that explains so much.
Oh, yes.
My goodness. So it is the circle of the good old boys as they boast and they actually, have made T-shirts. Listeners, for fundraising, the good, proud member of the good old boys club. Okay, so listeners, the town mayor, Tweedle is her last name. She is the one who came up with this fundraiser to buy T-shirts that say proud member of the good old boys club. It sounds like an in-your-face, we can do whatever we want to do type of advertisement for those that are against the good old boys club doing whatever they want to do, i.e. in non-compliance with the law and what the true benefit is that is supposed to be for the board members, the council, to stand for what's best for the interests of the citizens. So they're elected in, okay, but who are the influencers in the town? Who are the influencers that are letting the rest of that small little town of approximately 200 know that this is the right person for the job? Who influences those positions? Can you tell me?
Well, there's two or three people. We'll just leave that at that.
Fair enough.
But I was going to go back to February when it was a known fact. Town treasurer said, we don't have any money. What do I do? The council never once talked about reducing cost. Not once. Reducing salaries, not once. Rearranging the staff, not once. Terminating employment, not once. It all went to, well, maybe the Indians will give us money. Well, maybe we'll do this or we'll do that and they'll give us money. Or, well, we'll just have to not pay these people for a while till we get by. But no plan, no talk of a plan to eliminate the situation. But simultaneously with this, we've got the town mayor, and it depends on how you want to look at the cost of municipal court, the tickets, the district court, the attorney's fees, whatever. How much have they spent coming after these citations on me? $10,000? $15,000? I mean, we won't know that number till the auditor goes in, but they're spending that money irrespective of whether they have it or not, or whether they can pay any other bills.
Mm-hmm.
But putting that in perspective, when these citations got appealed to district court, that typically is when the ADA, associate district attorney, would take over and prosecute the ticket. Do you want to know what happened in this case?
What?
The town of Calvin had spent XYZ number of dollars that the district attorney's office recognized, and that was above some type of spending limit for attorney's fees in such a small town, that if they could afford to spend those monies, they could also afford to prosecute their own tickets. So the DA refuses or sent a letter refusing to represent their tickets in district court, and the town of Calvin has to provide its own attorney to prosecute those tickets in district court. Did you catch that?
Okay. Let's go over that one more time so I can catch it better and so that our listeners can as well.
There are ticket citations written to myself in the town of Calvin. They've went through the process of Muni Court, which the municipal court judge actually receives his compensation from the town, found guilty. I have to appeal those tickets to district court. In most cases, when those tickets are appealed to district court, the district attorney would prosecute those tickets against my attorney representing me. In this case, the district attorney's office says, oh, no, 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 we're not going to represent the town of Calvin. You've spent XYZ dollars on attorney's fees. You can represent yourself in district court against these tickets.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, how telling is that? How telling is that? My
goodness. But the question is how much money have they squandered on personal agendas? And attorney's fees, because you got to count the lights, the time, the judge, the people, everything associated with prosecuting these tickets.
Right.
That
right.
Are illegitimate to begin with. Illegitimately conceived, illegitimately written, and illegitimately found guilty.
Right. So, listeners, James has been the only recipient. So anybody listening to the show that hasn't been following the last three shows, James Treat is the only proud recipient of parking violations that has been incurred upon him, or citations, okay, by non-CLEAT certified ticket writer. And that means that that person has no right to write a ticket regarding any kind of vehicle operation. Is that correct?
Well, there's no due process. There's no due process of compelling you to Muni Court.
As one item.
I mean, there's multiple other defenses to this besides the town's own ordinance that says it's okay, and that will be put up on there on the website as well. But the basis of this point is that the district attorney wouldn't represent the town of Calvin's tickets, wouldn't prosecute their citations for them.
Yeah, that's even a bigger point to make. You're right.
They had to pay. They have to pay their own town attorney to prosecute these citations a second time, only in front of a district judge.
And this town attorney appears to be hiding under a rock, doesn't he?
He hasn't responded to you.
He has not responded to me. I have been referred to the town attorney from both the chief of police and from the town treasurer that if I'm asking for any kinds of statements, I need to contact the town attorney. Well, the town attorney has refused to he hasn't called me back. He has not emailed me back. So there's nothing to say, apparently, because one would think if there was something to say good on behalf of Calvin, Oklahoma, who is biased and abusing you as a private citizen of Calvin, Oklahoma, just because you're pointing out these egregious shortages of compliance in Calvin, Oklahoma, that it's pretty darn clear that that's just what it is. It is bias. It is discrimination. It's retaliation by giving you these tickets and having to spend one day a week in the district court, right? Is this accurate? In the district court, defending yourself. Where
well,
now?
We're in that appeal process as we speak.
Okay.
There has been a there has been another hearing set, but it's later later on next month.
Okay.
But the bigger the point here is the town has a financial crisis. I mean, that's what it's a financial crisis, and yet they're not looking at solving their problems to balancing their own budget. They just keep spending. Let's hire new people. Let's just keep prosecuting. Let's just keep up with this attorney fees, whatever. Let's just keep incurring more and more expenses. Their revenues aren't increasing any.
Do they think it's risk and reward for them? Do you think that we're going to take the risk of spending this money at the potential reward of James Treat is going to go away and we can go back to business as usual?
Their own attorney in their letters was basically trying to use that same analogy towards us. And my attorney turned around and said, look, you're chasing dollars to get pennies. That was the exact quote.
Exactly.
And that was my attorney to the town attorney. Really,
right.
You need to take and evaluate this. You're looking at spending dollars to gather pennies. What in the world are you doing? Well, he says I'm following my client's wishes.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word. An attorney that actually does that, first of all.
And, I understand. But even out of all of this, this has not been anything but an information gathering process now for about 4 years going on five.
Okay.
Even in this tit for tat, their attorney in trying to make these citations go away in the very beginning was trying to trade away, we'll let the citations go if James Treat promises not to file a 1983 suit. I told my attorney no way in the world is that ever going to happen.
Right.
And a 1983 suit, for those who don't know, is a civil rights federal lawsuit, which is fully documented at this point, that federal lawsuit will hold each person individually accountable for everything that they've done financially. They won't get to hide behind the board counsel anymore.
And there's no immunity there.
Right, but their attorney was smart enough. Their attorney was smart enough to try to throw that in and negotiate it away in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But the town doesn't understand any of this. They don't think they're doing anything wrong today.
That's such a problem.
You know, the attempt on the hiring practices, you know, trying to go back and, quote, reset that. Well, one of the things we'll talk about in the next show is actual dateline timestamps of every single thing with audio of the town council saying what they said, moving down the line. But that reset of asking someone to come back in, refill out an app, no, he wasn't hired, but he was hired, all of that have reset. And their attempt to, quote, reset this, it was nothing more than a feeble, non-transparent attempt to cover up the practices that they turned around and repeated.
So, you know, for anybody listening to this, this is just complete obstruction of justice. Denial of due process is what they have attempted to do that you're not allowing to have happen. But bias. This is legal abuse that they have imposed upon you, hence the civil rights lawsuit. And boy, oh boy, there are a lot that are going in that direction right now for many different reasons. And Oklahoma is just, they're known to bullying their way through and people just giving up.
Besides state statutes and state law regarding property rights, I mean, that's a whole nother, I mean, that could be three shows in and of itself. But there's also state statutes that go to the town or the local government cannot expect or express a individual to require more of him than another citizen of the town.
Right.
Pure and simple.
Right.
Which means what? You got to treat everybody the same. That's a concept they don't get.
That's a concept
they
don't get.
You have to treat everyone the same way.
Right. 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 And once somebody is aware that they are, again, let's go back to what we were sharing earlier, as far as their duty to uphold the law, because they're aware of what the law is, right? Help me out here.
They've been told everything that we've talked about has all been said.
Right.
They just blow it. He goes in one ear and out the other.
Right. Right. So their response to
I've had their own attorney say, I can tell them all day long, they're not listening to me.
So they just keep paying their own attorney with money that they don't have, that's coming from the taxpayers that have,
town
you
resources.
Know, right. The town resources that has, you know, like really disgusting water, that their schools are in trouble, that the way the power lines are set up, the water lines are set up. So they just don't mind paying an attorney to try to obstruct justice and to keep this dog and pony show going, because they've got a grind against you when actually you are trying to protect the health and well-being of the city, protect yourself from being abused, and protect the rights of the senior citizens and those that are afraid to come out and actually say things and share things publicly. What the heck
is
going
on here? This parking situation, they could have already paved a parking lot for the seniors and be parking safe for, and that deal done. That could have already been done.
But they didn't want anything to do with it. It's their way or no way.
That's never been even a topic of discussion. I mean, you're talking about things. We're talking about streets in this town, Tanya, that are no more than 12 or 13 foot wide at their widest point.
Multiple
streets.
Oh my goodness. That are two-way streets, not one-way streets?
Two-way streets.
Average size garage, the width to squeak one car in is what, 12 feet?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
But that's no one cares about that. No one, it's amazing. The town properties that the properties that the town owns, they don't maintain or keep, except for, like, we just had the 4th of July, and I can appreciate, just like anybody else would, trying to make your best appearance, and, you know, the one street all gets weed-eated and edged and mowed and blah, 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 but what about two blocks over? The right-of-ways haven't been mowed in years.
Right.
But that's not on the town's agenda. Making the town supervisor fill out an agenda of his duties and what he does and what everybody else does is not on the agenda. The 96-degree heat out here, you don't see city workers out working. I don't know what they do these days, because I'm not privy to the same information that I once had. But 2 years ago, they were sitting in the town barn watching TV during those hot afternoons.
And that's when you were on the board, right?
No,
were
I've
you?
Never been on the board. No,
okay.
I've never been on the
okay,
board.
Okay, my mistake.
There were people that would go in and out of the town barn that would see this going on. It wasn't hearsay. It was firsthand information to them.
But
that was acceptable.
I need to take a brief intermission here. We are, just to let the listeners know, we are not playing that song tonight, but we will next time, just because time got away from us. This is 90 minutes instead of 2 hour show. We have got, James, we have got, as far as what, you know, you and I can keep going back and forth with, we've got about, let me see, it's 9:24 now. So I'd say we've got about 4.5 to 5 minutes more before I need to just do my closeout announcements, okay? So I want you to make the most out of these times, and we can talk about what it is that we're going to talk about next time as well.
Well,
and I didn't get around to asking some questions of you, but that's okay because this is very important information.
I think it's important for any listener to go look at the financials themselves. If you don't understand them, that's fine. Just go look at the notes that are pointed out. Just go to the website and look at the dollar amounts. You couldn't live out of your personal checkbook if you weren't any more accountable than that. You couldn't buy food. You couldn't buy groceries. The town is no different. They have to live within their means. They have to live within what they bring in. And if they can't currently do it, they have to make changes to do it. You can't keep spending money, and you can't spend your way out of it. If you look at the town financials and you think of it in terms of your own checkbook, it's identical. If you only get $100 in, you can only spend $100 out.
And to add to that, what if all of a sudden you had money missing and you don't know where the heck it went? Don't you want to know where your money went to and why you can't afford something but that you thought might have actually been accounted, you know, been allocated for? And that's, in a sense, what's happening with the town of Calvin, Oklahoma. Nobody has shown you guys, you citizens, the financials, and it has not been transparent since even before 2011, because this CPA for the town said that he couldn't make an opinion because there was no supporting documents to back up their numbers.
Well, let's make an analogy out of that. That's a very good point. Let's say in a personal household, they've got a mason jar sitting on the shelf, and it has $100 in it. And it's open to the family to go take money in and out of this mason jar for the month to spend on what they spend it on, brothers, sisters, whatever. But when they take money out of it, they're supposed to put a little piece of paper in there that says, I took $2. I took $4. And I spent $4 on food, or I spent $4 on this or that, whatever it may be, and say what you spent the money for. But at the end of the month, you went to the jar and you had no money in there, but you looked at the little piece of paper and added it all up, and it only accounted for $55. Where did the other $45 go? That, at best, is the town of Calvin. They can't tell you where the money spent. Their own CPA says so.
Right. And so, listener,
CPA said they cannot account for their expenditures. Where did the money go?
Right. So,
these aren't my numbers. These aren't the state numbers. These are Calvin's own numbers, which can't even support themselves. You need to change the people in charge. They cannot do their job.
They need
this
to go.
This is where you
win.
Go into a company that's not making money, you fire them on the spot.
Can't there be a petition of no faith that is sent out and signed to, in essence, you know, get these people out of office? But that being said, we should keep up.
I haven't looked as to the procedure of that. It's supposed to be in that type of thing. It's supposed to be in the code ordinance book, but it really doesn't matter because they're operating as an illegal enterprise right now. Anyway, the code book really is inconsequential to anything they're doing. I mean, it's a legal nightmare.
I've got to cut you off there, but that would be an interesting place to pick back up again. But I need to thank you so much for being a stand-up citizen and a warrior for the town of Calvin, Oklahoma, and empowering others that are listening to this that if they've got any question marks going on about how money is truly being spent and who is really in charge of it and why they're not getting answers, or maybe they should just ask questions to make sure the answers would be available should you have any questions. I think that you're doing a fantastic job on behalf of the Calvins of Citizen. So that being said, we look forward to catching up with you again. And so please pay attention to the updates. Please go to calvininfo.com. Please also go to ppjg.me, Marty Oak, Marty Oakley's page, where you can get caught up on all of these valuable podcasts, where she is the producer and just an amazing, amazing mentor and friend to me. And I'd like to remind you also to please tune in every Sunday night at 7 o'clock Central Time, okay? You can figure out the rest from there, to TNT Tanya Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told. And don't forget to Google Whistleblower Summit 2018. We thank you all so, so very much for showing up. We love you. Now let's get some sleep.